to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That time Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down to heal his son who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your son will live." The man believed what Jesus had said to him and left. While the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him, "The fever left him yesterday about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we celebrated Laetare Sunday. Those words from Isaiah 66, "Rejoice, Jerusalem," which I'm sure you sang very well yesterday. But the prelude to that antiphon is today's first reading from Isaiah 65. Why should Jerusalem rejoice? Because of the fulfillment of the promise that God was making to all those in exile in Babylon. Thus says the Lord, "Though I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth, the things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. There shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create." God was going to be renewing all things. That's essentially the point of Lent. God wants to renew us fully so that we, even more than Jerusalem in the 6th century BC, would be able to rejoice. In order for us to have the typical joy that God wants to give us at Easter, we have to allow this thorough renewal to occur. I'm sure you were paying very close attention in the collect, as you always do. But the prayers today are all about this renewal that God wants to work. O God, who renew the world through mysteries beyond all telling, and the prayer over the offerings we'll hear, may we receive, O Lord, the effects of this offering dedicated to you, so that we may be cleansed from old earthly ways and be renewed by growth in heavenly life. Prayer after we receive Jesus inside later. May your holy gifts, O Lord, we pray, give us life by making us new, and by sanctifying us, leading us to things eternal. The Lord wants to renew us. The Lord will renew us. Just what he did to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, he will do to us, and it should fill us with joy. The only thing God can't do by his own design is give us our fiat. He can help us to make it, but the cooperation is ours. But are we willing to have that type of renewal, not just a minor itty-bitty little course correction, but to go very, very deeply and reground our relationship with the Lord by his help even more deeply than before? Today's gospel is meant to help us to see how that renewal will take place. It will take place by responding to the Lord's action with greater faith, including that action that doesn't seem consistent with him. that action that doesn't seem as compassionate as he ought to be, as caring as he ought to be. Yesterday we had the gospel of the man born blind. And unlike all the other miracles of healing of blind men in the gospel, Jesus allowed this blind man to share in his own healing. Came up unbidden from behind, wiped his eyelids with muddy saliva, and then sent him to wash in the pool of Siloam. A blind man who has just been made filthy by some other guy's saliva and dirt, being sent to a place that he really couldn't see, in which he would be vulnerable to falling in. And yet off the man went, and he did wash in a prefigurement of baptism. And he came back totally capable of seeing. The Lord Jesus likewise wants to send us on similar journeys so that we might see for real. He wants to renew us deeply in the promises of our baptism, where we were brought to wash so that we might see all things by the light of faith. Immediately upon yesterday's miracle, the church gives us on this fourth Monday of Lent another journey precisely by faith. This royal official comes to Jesus in Cana of Galilee. He was from Capernaum. That would have been a 20-mile walk, so it would have taken probably about 7 hours. He got to Jesus about 1 in the afternoon, so he had left pretty early in order to be able to get there if he went straight out. He's a royal official, probably in Herod's court. Wouldn't have been easy for him to go to this Jewish carpenter from Galilee, but yet there he was. And he begged him to come and heal his son who was on his deathbed, a father's worst nightmare. And instead of Jesus saying, like he did to the pagan centurion who met him in Capernaum, not in Cana, and asked him to come heal his servant, Jesus immediately said, I will come. And the man stopped him and said, no, I am not worthy to have you in my house. This miracle is different because Jesus saw that there was a different need. So Jesus' first words seem so harsh, the exact opposite of someone who's kind and merciful. This man asks Jesus to come down to heal his son who was near death. Jesus' first response was, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. The man insisted, kind of like the Syrophoenician woman in Tyre, who just wouldn't take no for an answer because of a love that would lead him to pray with insistence. Sir, come down, please, before my child dies. Jesus knew that this royal official, and not just everybody else, needed help to grow in faith. So Jesus was going to send him on a journey of faith. Unlike the centurion in Cana, who when Jesus said, I will come and cure him, and the centurion said, I'm not worthy to have you enter my house. This royal official wanted Jesus to come to his house. He wanted him to touch his son. He wanted to be sure that Jesus would do this. He wanted, at least in the journey, to be a true journey of hope. But Jesus said to him, to help his faith grow, you may go, your son will live. In other words, trust in my word. Even at this distance, I can cure and I will. Your son is going to make it. Go. This royal official had a choice to make right then and there. To grab onto Jesus' hand and say, please, 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 please come with me. Or to trust that what Jesus said was true. That he could precisely heal at a distance. And so he turned back on that 20-mile journey. Eventually, as he neared Capernaum, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. And he found out that the miracle had occurred precisely at the time he had had that conversation. And he and his whole household came to believe. For us, we will often ask the Lord to heal us in one way, to heal a family member, a loved one, somebody who's asked us for prayers. We will precisely beg him to give particular graces to those who need. And many times he will say, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. He wants to send us on journeys of faith, journeys in which we have to trust in him more and more. And throughout Lent, he's going to try to renew us in that trust. Are we ready for that journey to do precisely what he says? All of Christian life, sisters, is this type of journey of faith. All of Lent is this journey of faith, which Jesus makes the most stupendous promises, that you will live forever. Just walk, go on that journey. Are we willing to walk that journey with faith? A few years ago, Pope Francis, when this reading came up, gave a very interesting and beautiful commentary on the type of journey of faith that we're asked to make as Christians. And he said, as is his wont, that there are three different types of journeys that people make. First type of journey, he said, is when people believe, but they don't really want to move if it's inconvenient for them. They do have a certain faith, but they're somewhat static in it. They don't want to change their habits. They don't really want to be renewed. They kind of want it a little easy. Second type of journey is that people are on the wrong road. Yes, they're moving, but they're moving in the wrong direction. Pope Francis said it's not so much that they're on the wrong road. It's when they recognize they're not on the road they ought to be. Do they actually change and get on the right road, that narrow road that leads to life? When we recognize that interiorly or exteriorly we're heading in a direction that's not following in Jesus' footsteps totally, do we immediately change and start to journey with Jesus? Or out of pride, do we stubbornly persist in going our own way? And the third type of journeying is those who are moving, those who are actually moving in the footsteps of Jesus. But Pope Francis said they're doing it as existential tourists, not as disciples. They're doing it to check out the scenes. They're doing it for the experience. They're not really doing it totally out of faith. I see this all the time, sisters, as I guide people. There are certain people who are really on a pilgrimage of faith, and there are others who can't take enough photos. There are many who are just doing it as a been there, done that, rather than as a continued encounter with the Lord who is drawing them deeper toward renewal. Sometimes we can go through the liturgical year as tourists. We're going through one rehearsal after another of the events of salvation history, but we don't really slow down enough for them to sink deeply within. We're taking snapshots of them. We're pondering them a little. But we're not allowing them to be the diving boards into the deep water, the deep living water that Jesus wants to well within us to eternal life. So are we journeying is the first. Do we really see this Lent and this life as a journey? And where is the Lord leading? Second, are we on the road that he's indicating? And if we're not, are we going to get off the road and onto the right one? And then third, are we on the right road with the right intentions so that the Lord can really renew us and so that we can have that joy that the whole church pondered yesterday? Today, as we come forward, we're about to meet the same Jesus whom the royal official traveled 20 miles to see. You didn't have to travel 20 miles. Some of you just had to travel down maybe 12 steps. But it's the same Jesus who wants to help us through faith to unite ourselves to him as he seeks to lead us as the Good Shepherd, step by step, all the way till the eternal Laetentur Caeli that the angels and saints are singing, awaiting our faith-filled arrival. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.